We began to talk about how the Sermon on the Mount had come to a close, and now Jesus and the disciples were not only going to be talking the talk, they were going to be walking the walk, and how that when Jesus come off the mount, the first person he bumped into was a leper, maybe someone that everybody else would have ran from and not had anything to do with. And of course, Christ extended his hand to him and healed him of his leprosy. And as we continue going, now we have men who are disciples who've said, "I will follow Christ." And they've listened to his Sermon on the Mount, and he's told them how to have a happy life, and he's told them how they're supposed to treat others and how they're supposed to do around others. And now it's time to go to the real life circumstance. And again, I'm sure that some of you, as I do, sometimes on Sunday afternoon when I leave the church, I get up and I say, you know what, tomorrow is going to be different. I'm going to go to the office, and I'm not going to worry about making a sale. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to worry about that. I'm going to worry about sharing Jesus with someone else. I'm not going to let stress get me. I'm not going to let the circumstances of life get me. And I leave here, and I feel like I've been on that Sermon on the Mount. I've been with Jesus. I'm feeling pretty pumped up about it, kind of like coming to a pep rally. And then Monday comes, and phone rings a couple of times, and you get chewed out, or maybe it's just stress, just regular, normal, everyday stress. And the next thing you know, the vision that you had is slowly dwindling. And I would love to be in a place that maybe sometime in my life I'll mature enough that I'll get to the place that even in my everyday life that Jesus is number one and sharing Jesus with others is the most important thing in my life. But let's get into verse number 18 as we come into Jesus has been, if you back up to verse number 14, I'm not going to read it, but Jesus even reaches out and heals Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick, and he touched her and healed her. So now that Jesus is doing all of these miracles, there's a lot of people that are following him. There's a lot of people who are there around him. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a commandment to depart unto the other side." So he told his disciples, let's go to the other side of the sea here. And look what happens in verse number 19. "And a certain scribe came." Now, the Bible doesn't say a young man, but in my mind, I just vision a young man. I vision a young man that has been watching Christ, that has been seeing what he has done, that has seen the miracles that he's done. And in his mind, he is thinking, "Do I want to follow Christ? Do I want to be one of his disciples?" And he finally comes to the place here in verse number 19, and he says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." So he'd been watching Christ and seeing all of these things that he was doing and seeing him heal people and touch the leprosy on the man that had the leprosy and seeing him heal Peter's mother-in-law. And then as this great multitude was around him, the Bible don't even tell us everything that has happened. I mean, we know the Bible even tells us that there were many more miracles than what's revealed to us in God's Word. So there's no telling what all that these men had seen Jesus do during this time period that this multitude was around him. And I can see this young man, and again, I'm picturing a young man. He may have been an old man for all I know, but the Bible says a certain scribe. But I can see him sitting and going, "Wow, I want to follow Christ. Wow, I want to be part of that." But there was always something on the other side that was pulling the opposite of that. You know, is that not the way that it is when you're trying to win somebody to Jesus Christ? When you're, I mean, they can see some things in you or maybe see some things that Christ has done, or maybe they're just sick and tired of being lost. They're just sick and tired of not having someone to take their troubles to and their burdens to. And man, they want Jesus so bad, but they just can't get to that place where they say, "Okay, I give up. I surrender. I'm giving my life to Christ." And here we see this guy, he finally says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." That's it, I'm done. I'm going to go with you, Christ. I've seen you. I know you're, for lack of a better way to put it, I know you're awesome. I want to be part of you. I want to follow you. And tonight, maybe we're in a place that, maybe you're even here and you're saved. But we're sitting in a place and we've seen all of the wonderful things that God has done. We've seen all the awesome things that Christ has done in our life and in other people's life. Are we willing to step up and say, "I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. I'm going to go with him. I know it's going to be tough," because look what Jesus says to him in verse number 20. "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." See, it almost sounds like that even Jesus is trying to discourage him from following him. It almost sounds like when this guy speaks up and he says, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go," it almost sounds like that Jesus says, "Well, I want you to know something. Everybody else has a comfortable place to be, but I don't. It's not going to be comfortable following me. It's not going to be easy following me. And sometimes I think that we look and we see that it's not easy to follow Christ. We see that it's not comfortable. It's not something that, you know, everybody's just going to look at you and go, oh man, you're following Christ. I admire you for that. And I think that we let that scare us away from following Christ the way that we should follow Christ. This guy, as he looks at Jesus and says, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus says, well, I just want you to know that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It's not going to be easy to follow Christ. And I would not try to mislead anyone and tell them that, hey, if you find Jesus Christ and you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, whether you're being saved and deciding to follow Christ or whether we've been as Christians for a long time, but we've just been kind of sitting idle and not following Christ the way that we should, I will not try to fool you tonight and tell you that it's easy. Following Christ has got to be one of the hardest things that I've ever tried to do in my life. Just as we were talking on Sunday, how that we find ourselves in a battle between our flesh and our spirit, but it's also that there's just so much going on day in and day out to look for God's will in my life and everything that I do. Sometimes it gets very difficult to do that. To try to point others to the cross, to try to control, hey, the Bible tells us in several different places that if we're going to follow Christ, that we got to be full of self-control. Sometimes I don't want to control myself. Sometimes I want to fly off the handle. Sometimes I want to sling stuff. I want to stomp and snort and snot and everything else. I mean, I really want to show myself. I don't want to control myself. It's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian. I don't know about maybe for some of you, but I've even been in times in my life, even in a church situation, in a church setting, that going to church was hard. That maybe there was some issues or whatever, and going to church was hard or whatever. Maybe you hadn't been there, but a couple of different times in my life as a deacon and different things, there have been times that even going to church was hard to do. This is my place of refuge. This is where I want to come and relax and not have any problems. And it just the tiniest little thing can come up in church and it just gets hard. Serving God is not easy. And here Jesus is saying, well, I hear you. I hear you say that you're going to follow me whithersoever I goest. That's sort of hard for me to say. Jesus said, I hear you, man. You want to follow me? But look, it's going to be tough. That's the JLS version, just so you know. That wasn't KJV. That was JLS. I hear you, man. You want to follow me, but it's not going to be easy. You better be strong. You better have some backbone. You better be ready because it's not going to be easy to follow me. Verse number 21. But let me back up just 1 second, just in case you're here and you're wondering. It's not easy following Christ. It's hard. It's not favorable to the society that we live in. It's not popular, but let me tell you something. It is absolutely worth it. To follow Christ is absolutely worth it. No matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, no matter what trouble I run into, no matter how uncomfortable it is, I don't know of anything I'd rather be than a child of God standing right here tonight. No matter what happens in my life, I know that he has me in his hands. Verse number 21. And another of his disciples said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now, I don't know whether this guy's father was already passed or not. Maybe he was close to death and he's like, Lord, I want to go home and stay with him till he dies. But at any rate, he said, I want to follow you, but let me go home and take care of some business first. Let me go home and take care of daddy. Look what Jesus says. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Well, how rude. How in the world could Jesus look at someone and say, you follow me and don't worry about you? Really, I don't think this is a literal statement that Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, if you want to follow me, it's got to be so much with all of your heart that it's more important than anything or anyone in this whole entire world. It's more important than anything that you could possibly do. I have got to be number one if you're going to follow me, because if you don't put Jesus first and follow Jesus as he is first in your life, you're going to find yourself stumbling and falling a whole lot, just as I do find myself the same way in my life. But he says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Verse number 23, I think he was trying to let his disciples know, or these men who wanted to be Jesus' disciples, There is a difference between just being a child of God and being a true disciple of Christ. You know, when I was 7 years old and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, I was saved. I'm a child of God right then. Nothing nobody can do about it. Nobody can pluck me out of his hand. Okay, and I believe that with all of my heart. But for me to be a true disciple, there's some free will choices that I have to make in my life to follow Christ with my life. And look what happens in verse number 23. So Jesus is telling his disciples, look, it's not going to be easy. And he's told them, let's get in this boat and go to the other side. So in verse number 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. That's good. They're doing a good thing. They're following him. Man, sometimes we get to where 1 minute we're following Christ, and the next minute, verse number 24, and behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. We're following Christ, and man, I'm sure as Jesus walked onto this ship and his disciples were following him, you know, there might have even been some of those that were walking onto that ship just a little bit with their chest stuck out. Because here were these guys that said, Christ, I'll follow you, and he says, well, hang on a minute, it's not easy. And then here was another one that said, I'll follow you, but let me go home. And he says, I got to be number one. So now Jesus goes and he gets on the ship, and I can almost see some of his disciples maybe walking behind him just a little bit bowed up. Hey, we're following Christ. And as they get on the ship, it says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And when his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, I believe it's more like, hey, Jesus, help us, we're going to die. We're in the middle of a storm, the storm's going crazy, there's waves coming over in the boat. What are you doing down here asleep? I don't believe this is like we read it. Lord, help us, we pray. I don't believe it was like that. I believe they was in panic mode. They was absolutely scared to death. Here was these guys that, again, this is my imagination, we're following Christ. Lord, help us. Is that not what we do? That's what I do. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm following Christ. I preached a message last week about so-and-so, and man, that's good. And then Monday comes, and I'm going, Lord, help me. I'm falling, and I can't get up. We find ourselves in that place, and here is, as the disciples go, Lord, help us. We perish. And verse number 26, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, I want you to notice that O ye of little faith, I said it more like a statement. But my Bible shows a question mark, almost to the point of, why do you have such little faith? You've seen what I've done. Look, you've seen me heal the leper. You've seen me touch Peter's mom, or mother-in-law. You've seen me do this miracle and that miracle. And because the storms get a little tough, all of a sudden you don't have any faith. Now look, I don't know. Again, I can't never speak for y'all. I have to only speak for myself. I've seen God do some amazing things in my life. I've seen God do some miracles. I've seen God touch when you knew that there was absolutely no way that it was anything but God that worked. More than anything else, I experienced a miracle the night that Jesus Christ saved me. I experienced being a little boy who was scared that he might die that night and knew that if I did die that I wouldn't go to heaven, to going and praying and asking a God that I'd never seen before in my life, but I knew that he would forgive me of my sin, asking him to forgive me of my sin, and right there in that very moment, I didn't have to be afraid ever again of dying. Now look, if I go to the hospital tomorrow and they tell me I'm fixing to die, I ain't gonna say I ain't gonna be scared, because I've never died before. Some of y'all may have, but I haven't. I've never died before. So the fear of the unknown part of dying may be fearful. But I want to tell you, what's going to happen to me after I take my last breath, I'm not afraid of whatsoever. I know that I'm going to be in the presence of God. I know that without a doubt in my mind. I believe this Bible with all of my heart. Can't explain it all, but I believe it. And as he says here, and he says, you've seen me do these amazing things. Why do you have such little faith? Well, why do I have such little faith? If Jesus can save me and forgive me of my sins, and I have faith for that, why can't I have faith for the little situations that come up in my life? The little things that happen, the little burdens that come along. And I say little because compared to eternity in hell, anything that we face here on this earth is little. And he took care of that for me, and I have faith for that. So why can't I have faith in some of these other things that come along in my life? why am I so scared? Why am I running to him and saying, oh, help me, because we're about to die? Verse number 26, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now look, I may chase a rabbit down the wrong hole right here, but a thought hit me as I was reading this scripture this afternoon again, as I was looking at it. You know what? Jesus had complete control of nature here in this scripture. He could step out and speak to this storm, and the storm had to obey. And it had to fall. It had to cease. The storm was over right then. But you want to know why sometimes the storm don't end in my life? Even when God speaks to me, don't get me wrong, I know God is all powerful. He is every bit in control of my life. He can kill me right now. If he wants this to be my last breath, he can do that. But you want to know why I think that sometimes that the storm don't end in my life? Because just as something I said a minute ago, I am still a person of 100% free will choice. God don't force me to allow him to end the storm in my life. When that storm comes on, he may be speaking peace to me. He may be showing me scripture in God's word. He may be sending a song to me. He may be sending a message to me. He may send one of y'all to shoot me a text or whatever. And this storm is brewing, and I'm to the place where I'm like, I resist all of that because I have free will choice to say, no, I'm going to let this storm keep right on going. I'm not going to trust God with it. I'm not going to just let it lay down. I know there have been times in my life when I chose to let a storm keep brewing. It hasn't been a very long time ago. There was something that was really troubling me, and I was just, I didn't have any peace whatsoever. And I laid down one night, and I mean, my chest felt like it weighed about 100 pounds. And I was sitting there, and I wasn't really talking to anybody or nothing else, and I just said, God, I just need you to speak to me tonight. And I don't know how you're going to speak to me, but I'm listening. I got to have something. I got to have some comfort. And I got a little devotional book laying there beside my bed there on the nightstand. I picked it up, and I opened right to the date that it was. And I hadn't read this little devotional book in a while. It was one I've read through a couple of times, and I hadn't picked this one up in a while. But I turned to the date that it was, and I started reading, and it said, refuse to worry, God's got you. And I was like, how about that? And I mean, I felt the tears just well. I mean, I knew God was speaking to me. And man, I slept like a baby that night. I got up the next morning, and I grabbed my storm again, and I went to worrying about it. Because I had that free will choice. I grabbed it up and said, you know what, God, I know you. And even during the day, I told a couple of people about it. I told them how, both times when I told them about it, I could feel that peace coming. I feel the tears come again. But that night, I was like, okay, God, you're going to have to give me something else. Why? Because my free will choice was saying, I'm not going to accept that you made the storm lay down. Verse number 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'm going to be done here in just a minute, but I want to read the rest of this chapter. And when he was come to the other side into the country of them people. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Look, even the stinking demons that was in these people knew who he was, that he was the Son of God. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So here these two guys come running out of this tomb. And you say, well, wait a minute. I've read this before in other scriptures, and it only mentioned one. Well, I'm not going to tell you that this is a contradictory. I'm telling you, you're getting a fuller picture of the story. If something happens in here tonight, and we may do this for an experiment one Sunday morning or maybe one Wednesday night. Wednesday night probably a better time. But just a little something happened. And then you ask people to start telling the story. However many people there are in here, you're going to get that many different versions of what happened. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some people sometimes want to go, oh, that's contradictory. No, it's four men with different viewpoints of what happened. So here, he meets these two men with devils, and they come running out of the tomb. And when he casts the devils out of the men into the swine, look what happens. Them old nasty pigs. Now, we're talking about in a Jewish time, these pigs were considered nasty, unclean animals. I don't even know why these men were keeping these pigs. They were probably not supposed to have these pigs. But anyway, they cast the demons into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill. Even the pigs didn't want to live with those devils in them. So they ran down the hill and violently, and the Bible says they drowned themselves. They're dead. And it's handled. Look at verse number 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. They heard about it. They wanted to come see what happened. And you would think that they would be like, hey, there's those two dudes that had devils, that was crazy, that everybody was afraid of, and we run them out of the city. And look, that man cast the devils out of. Oh, man, that's awesome. If he can do that for them, what could he do for us? But look, they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. After they had seen what he had done, they begged him to leave. Go away. Some of it was probably they didn't understand it. Some of it was probably they were scared, and I don't know why in the world you would say leave. But you know what? It happens every single Sunday in churches all over our county, all over our country. People come into the house of God. They feel the power and the presence of God. They know that they need Jesus Christ. They can see what an awesome, awesome thing it is to be a Christian, and they decide to leave without Jesus Christ. But Christians, look, you've already got that living on the inside of you. You've already got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You've already experienced it. And how many days, how many times do we go, yeah, I know it's awesome, I know it's wonderful, but I'm just going to keep it all on the inside. I'm not really going to say a whole lot about it. I'm not going to do a whole lot about it. I might offend somebody. I don't go around with the intentions of offending people. That's not what I like to do. I hate confrontation. It's not something that I enjoy. But sometimes, just sometimes, I believe that I let my fear, we'll call it a fear, my dislike of offending people, I let it make me keep my mouth shut when somebody needs to hear about Jesus Christ. It's a little bit easy, maybe a little bit of a cop-out, to look at somebody and say, I wish you'd come with me to church sometime. I'm not discouraging you from that. I encourage you to invite people to church. And I'll do my best to promise you this. If you invite people to church, I'll do my best to preach the gospel, that they'll know something about Jesus Christ. But it's a little bit of a cop-out sometimes just to go and invite people to church when they really need to know who Jesus is. I seen something on the sign the other day. It said, it's a good thing to know the Bible. It's a great thing to know its author. Sometimes we need to not be so religious and go and give people Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. And God, I know that I'm a failure, God, and I know that I'm so guilty of the things that I've preached tonight. But God, I pray that you'll help me as I live my life, that I will allow you to shine through me to others, God, that I will make conscious decisions to let you calm storms in my life, God, that I will be in a place that you can use me, that I'll point others to the cross, and that I'll give you glory with my life. And God, in everything that I do, that never would I boast, but I know that being a Christian is hard, and I know that it's tough, but that I'll let that be my number one goal, is to live for you. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And God, you know all of our needs. God, you know all the prayer requests that was made before church tonight. And God, I pray that you'll touch all of those, all of the ones that's on our hearts. But God, I pray most of all for our lost loved ones, our lost family, and maybe some that's been coming to church that need Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'll just continue to touch their heart. God, I pray that you'll keep them safe, and God, help them to make that decision for you before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank you for loving us and saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.